The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple, on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
I'm not here to salute or to cheerlead for Donald Trump regardless, or say he should be elected in 2020. That's the American people's job. My job is to call balls and strikes. When Donald Trump, like Barack Obama, like the next president, like George Bush, regardless of who holds power, when you do good things that I agree with, that are constitutional, that I think are for the good of America, I'll salute you. I am an ideologue, but I'm not a never Trumper, or I'm not loyal to Trump. I'm balls and strikes kind of guy. I'm here to call it as I see it. This week, the Donald Trump administration, with probably, arguably, in my opinion, with General Mattis, the MVP of the administration, Nikki Haley, pulled out of the Human Rights Council in the United Nations. I think this is an amazing move. And I will give Donald Trump credit where it's due, because it's due here. Because I don't think anyone else had the balls to do this. The UN is a joke. When you look at the scorecard in the United Nations, and we're going to maybe talk about this next week with foreign policy, on the amount of human rights violations it has written against Israel, it's like in the 60s. And the second place is Syria with 15. Now, even if you don't like Israel, even if you think Israel is the great Satan, you need your head examined. If you think Israel is worse on human rights than places like Iraq, than Syria, than China, which has zero human rights violations, than Russia, which has zero human rights violations. Maybe we're going to maybe talk about this week, but I didn't want to let this week go without saluting Donald Trump and his administration and Nikki Haley. Great job. Great job. And for those who think this is, oh my God, America's pulling out the world. No, it's just not putting up a bullcrap anymore. You want to talk about human rights violations? Maybe don't have a policy of having China sit on that council. Maybe let's not have a policy of Russia sitting on that council. I'm open for conversations about human rights, but I'm not open to a country that treats its citizens like second-class citizens talking to me about America and how great America is and how bad America is and how bad Israel is. So good for you, Mr. President. Good for you. And good for you, Nikki Haley. Great job. I want to finish up today's show by asking people, there's two issues that happened this week that I don't know how to respond to. And I don't know why we are playing musical chairs in this. Maybe I'll do this. I'm asking for a friend. You know, wink, wink. I'm asking for a friend. I need some advice. Where do we stand on these issues? Two issues. First of all, executive orders. Are executive orders good or are they bad? If we can avoid executive orders, should we or should we just, you know, have them anyway? Because I was there with the Tea Party and with conservatives when they went crazy every time Barack Obama wrote another executive order. I got that. It was like, it's unconstitutional. That's not the way the presidency is supposed to work. You have a legislator who creates laws and you have an executive that signs laws and enforces laws. That is the way it's supposed to work. Yet, when Donald Trump came out and said we can't, I think it was last week, said, you know, we can't solve what's happening on the border by executive order, and then this week did it anyway, the amount of people who cheered for that online, I'm like, hold on. Are executive orders now cool? Are executive orders the way we solve issues? Is that the way you solve issues in America right now? Can we have some consistency? Are executive orders good or bad? Now, I get the whole some executive orders are good in the fact that the way you undo an executive order is by executive order. So they're not all bad by defunct. Donald Trump has signed some good executive orders where he has overturned Barack Obama's executive orders. I'm not saying they shouldn't be done. But as a general rule to solve problems, are executive orders good or bad? I'm asking for a friend. Wink, wink. Because I really want to know. I want to know because I want to be consistent on this issue. For me, they're bad. They're unconstitutional, the vast majority of them. And it's not how America's founders set up to govern. I know people don't like when I say this, but the founders' view of America was the presidency is nothing more than a figurehead. The presidency has no power. The greatness of America been set up was the presidency signs laws, but does very little. Congress has 18 clauses of power, and everything else is left up to the states. But the president, the reason they call it a president, was it was the lowest power term of the day, of the 1700s. It didn't have a, you know, it wasn't a title. He went, oh my God, that's a president. That's a great title. It was more like, president, commoner, worker, just low power. That's why all the power is with Congress, not the presidency. Second issue, and this one is potentially even more upsetting to me. What's the position on being consistent on taxes? Are taxes good or are taxes bad? Is making the American people keep more of their money and allowing them to keep more of their money a good thing or a bad thing? I'm asking because, again, I'm asking for a friend, wink, wink. There was a big case in the Supreme Court this week. And the Donald Trump tweeted on the result on Thursday evening. Big Supreme Court win on internet sales tax today. About time. Big victory for fairness and for our country. Great victory for consumers and retailers. And it just so happens, like, some of the comments underneath that tweet, there was someone who was called Jacob Wall. President Trump is 100% right when it comes to economics. Now flunky Bezos is going to be forced to pay his damn taxes. So, again, question asking for my friend. Are taxes good or bad? Are taxes what we want? Is it? Are we the party of no taxation? Is the Republican Party and Conservatives going to be supporting more sales tax? By the way, it's frustrating for me because that the first tweet from that Jacob Wall, this internet sales tax has absolutely nothing to do with Jeff Bezos. I can guarantee you it ain't going to change one dime, 1 cent to his bottom line. What it will change is the amount you pay for stuff. We need to be consistent. Our credibility, as I said to you in the first segment, is critical. I'm going to make a pledge to you today. I'm working on a few things behind the scenes that I just don't want to deliver to you till they're 100% right. I want to make the case for America in the most complete and best way I can. And I also want to make the case the best way I can for free market economics. Because I have seen Republicans change over the last 10 years. And if you want a spotlight of that, when George Bush in 2007 went on MSNBC and said, you know, I've got to destroy the free market to save the free market, when he was talking about all these bailouts and destroying free market principles, what happens? A person named Rick Santilli went crazy in a stock exchange floor. A lot of people got on the phone together and the Tea Party was born. Fast forward 10 years and we now have tariffs and we are now celebrating internet sales tax. We need to make the case for free market economics again, and I'm going to do the best I can. Because I truly believe in the power of the free market. I don't believe in abandoning free market principles because other people don't follow those principles. And I sure as hell don't believe in taking more of your hard-earned money. I believe in if you earn it, you have a right to the fruit of your labor. I do not believe in giving Congress and politicians more and more of your money. I believe it is yours. And over the coming weeks and months, I pledge to you, I'm going to do the best I can to make the most complete argument. And even if you disagree with me, to make and give you the argument for free market economics and why America, the idea, is exceptional. Because we live in times right now, and let me be blunt with you. We live in times that are really scary. There are times where if you want to be so negative, you could say this world, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. I could make that case. If you want me to do the show of we're all going to die show, trust me, I can do it. I would compete with Glenn Beck on catastrophe. I choose not to do it. Because Glenn is unbelievable. Maybe I couldn't compete with Glenn. Because Glenn's like, you don't have to worry about AI. It's ASI you got to worry about. And they're like, what's ASI? What's ASG? What's AGI? But I can tell you all the reasons why this world is screwed. I really can. I try and do it in a different way. But here's the thing. I don't think our future is done. I don't see our future as bleak. We face major challenges. We have major issues coming up on us. With the economy, with terrorism, with rights, with freedoms, with liberty. But it's not like we're sitting in the dark kind of going, well, there's this storm coming and I don't know how to solve it. The answer is the same as it always has been. We have the roadmap. Your founders, I wish I could claim them as mine. I wish I could say, my founders, our founders, I haven't got that right. I'm not an American. You have that right. Your founders set a roadmap for all the answers. Personal freedom, maximum responsibility, limited government, the right to pursue your happiness. The right to say you can do what you want. The only limit you have in life is the one you set yourself. This was continued in Emma Lazarus' poem, give me your tired, your weak, and your huddled masses yearning to be free. That was a slam on the rest of the world saying, where you all have your class systems and you judge people by not the content of their character, but on a load of different things, where you say those people can't in society, give me those. I will give them opportunities and they will be prospered. They will have the right to pursue their happiness. We can look at the world and say, we're done, it's over, we're bleak, we have no hope. But that's not true. We have all the hope. We have the roadmap. The set situation of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the original argument for nature's law. If we follow them, America can be exceptional again and can be the beacon of hope for the world again. And we can have issue a new wave of freedom throughout the world. That is what my focus is on. The question isn't if we have hope. The question is not whether can we do it. The question is, will we? Will we be like every other generation that has been born and bred and lived in America? Where they were willing to make sacrifices to make the world a better place. Were they willing to do the hard work? Were they willing to step up? Every generation of Americans to this day, since your founding, the answer has been an overwhelming yes. Will there be some people who won't? Yes, there always will be. But historically, as a group, as a nation, you have always said, yes, we will rise to meet the challenges. I believe you will do again, and I will do everything, even though I'm not an American and I have no right to say it. I will be there with you. I will link arms with you. I will be your biggest cheerleader. Because it's not about left, right, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives. It's about freedom. It's about nature's law. And it's about letting people pursue their own happiness. Until next week, I hope this show has given you something to think about. As always, we finish this show the way we finish each and every show we do on The Blaze, the exact same way. to remind you that there are heroes in our society. They live and walk amongst us. They have paid the ultimate sacrifice, some of them. We salute your police, your firefighters, your emergency personnel, your veterans, every man and woman who stood up for freedom, who works for it 24/7. And lastly, I share the sentiments of Alexis de Tocqueville. America is great because Americans are good. That's each and every one of you. You're not great because of Trump or because of Obama or because of Congress or because of the Supreme Court. You're great because you do good things.
Freedom versus freebies. This is Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn
on the Blaze Radio Network.